I love the truth.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Forecasters are warning about days of scorching, dangerous heat gripping a wide swath of the U.S. South and Midwest. With temperatures around 100 degrees at midday and feels like temperatures soaring even higher, parts of 13 states are under heat advisories, from Texas, Louisiana, and Florida in the South to Missouri and Illinois in the Midwest. That's according to the National Weather Service. Some of the most oppressive conditions are in Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Oklahoma. The United States is delaying tariffs on some Chinese-made goods. Those tariffs now set to take effect in mid-December. It has been announced CBS and Viacom are set to reunite, bringing together their networks and the Paramount Movie Studio as traditional media giants challenge streaming companies like Netflix. This is SRN News.
It's partly cloudy today. We're expecting about a 1 in 5 chance of rain. The high, 93. This evening, mostly clear. Only a 1 in 10 chance of rain tonight, and the low will be 77. Tomorrow, a 1 in 3 chance of an isolated thunderstorm. The high, 96 degrees. Thursday, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 90. Friday, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 88.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary on this Tuesday afternoon. We are glad you joined us today. If you want to call in the program, we'd love to hear from you. 844-777-7928. If you have comments or questions or maybe even some good feedback, especially with our topic being evangelism, you can send us an email at ask@swatradio.com. Doug, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. Hey, Steve, wait a second, Steve. I want you to indulge me one more time. Can you do that? You think one more time? This is the staple. For those who missed it yesterday, this week is back to school week. For
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's that time of year again.
They're going back. It's back to school time at Staples.
Over 7,000 supplies at guaranteed low prices.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Staples.
That Sorry, I just had to do that again. It is that time of year, and I love that commercial because you see the people in that commercial are so excited. Yeah, the dads, the moms.
I need to just pull it up.
It's just funny. It's a funny commercial. It's very creative, obviously, by Staples to do that. But yeah, it's that time of year. My girl started North Florida school. You know, Sally Hazlip has done a phenomenal job with that, and Abby and Becca started there.
I am so excited for them.
Yes, they are starting there, and I'm excited that they get to be a part of that. It is such a wonderful place. And, you know, Sally was our guest on here one day when Tim Lusk was hosting, and it's just she's taken that, and God's really used her to do a lot of neat things there. And a lot of people have stepped up in this community. I think Dolores Weaver is one of them, and other people who have given to help the kids. They do some really great things with kids there who struggle with everything from autism to Down syndrome to other things. And so they've just gone in there and they let these kids be taught and valued and contribute. And that's what's great. I mean,
yeah,
they just
love that.
You see them, they get jobs at Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
Publix.
Awesome.
Publix. I've seen, in fact, I've seen the Hazlips.
Colin, yeah, he's
Publix,
so good. So Abby and Becca rode the bus for the first time today. It was awesome for Lori. Just rode them down there and put them on that. And so, but it is a wonderful day. all the kids are in school today. Really was a, yesterday was the first day, but today was a real full first day. So congrats to all you moms out there who had a good first home day. So new stuff, you know, Brad, we did not really talk about what happened with the guy.
Marty Sampson.
No. Well, or, Marty Sampson. Oh, my goodness. Epstein. Yeah, let's talk about Marty Sampson. You know, during the first segment, a lot of times we talk about things in the news. And Joshua Harris happened a couple of weeks ago where he was this pastor who not only stepped away from ministry and his wife, he actually stepped away from the Lord and just said, I can't do it anymore. Well, you mentioned Marty Sampson. He was a pretty well-known worship music writer who worked with Hillsong Worship, Hillsong United. He worked with Delirious, Young and Free, and said he's losing his faith and he believes that Christianity is just another religion. He said, it's time for some real talk. I'm losing my faith. And what struck me was some of the things that he said. I don't know if you had a chance to really look at some of the questions he said. He wrote about this, I think, on Instagram. He said, how many preachers fall? Many. He continued, and no one talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. All right, he said, not many. This is what he says. No one talks about that. Why is the Bible full of contradiction? No one talks about it. How can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place just because they don't believe? No one talks about it. Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet. He said they can also be the most beautiful and loving, but it's not true for me. I see this, and again, this will impact people, a lot of people who basically think this guy was great because of his music or whatever he did there. And he put a picture of Samson pulling down the temple pillars, which, you know, a lot of people, again, first thing we need to do is pray for him, because this is just, it's sad to me, because not only is he walking away, he's going to pull some people with him.
Sure.
He's going to pull, but maybe the ones who go will go because, why? Because they
never
really,
of us.
Yeah, they were never really part of it. It's just sad, and I think we're going to see more and more of this, and I think that this is fulfilling what 2 Timothy talks about, right? He says in the latter times there's going to be a lot of people who walk away, who tickle the ears, who do all these things. And I think, you know, but you don't want somebody to be a fake, right?
Well, right. Exactly.
I mean,
I'm looking for, I know Al Mohler kind of talked about it, not this morning. I don't know. Did you listen to the briefing?
No,
I didn't either. And I was kind of wondering if he was going to address it, but he had something to say about it, which I thought was I think worthy of reading. I'll see if I can find it here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this says, so this is from CP. John Mason, founder of the God First, Life Second Movement, said Samson's falling away demonstrates that our minds are directly related to our spiritual position. When sound biblical theology is neglected for an American spiritualized, cultural friendly replacement, exposure to that theology will naturally turn away a mind, heart, and soul that has never submitted to that eternal truth. In other words, the falling away is the right response, he tweeted. Said the good news is, by God's grace, he and others still have an opportunity. Sorry, let me see if I can get rid of this here. still have an opportunity to believe in Christ through the truth of the gospel. Be disciplined and trustfully in God's word with the help of the Spirit. We should pray that someone will talk alongside them and show them the truth. Answers in Genesis founder Ken Ham said, Samson's rejection of his former beliefs reinforces the need for parents to instruct their children in doctrinal truth at an early age. Mm. This sad situation about this person is a reminder the church and parents need to teach apologetics to counter today's attacks on God's word. Samson post comes just weeks after famed Christian author Joshua Harris announced that he no longer considered himself a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was interesting. He says, I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus. The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. Harris, former pastor and author of I Kiss Dating Goodbye, announced on Instagram on July 26th, by all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. Harris' announcement sparked a debate with the evangelical Christian community regarding the doctrine of salvation, with some arguing he was never truly a Christian. Now, this was says there may be even some who sin by repudiating Christianity, but if they ever were genuinely Christian, they will return by repentance at some point, and that is a gospel promise, Dr. Al Mohler, Jr., president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, said. If persons do continue in their repudiation of Christianity, then we have to remember the text, 1 John 2:19, where we are told that they went out from us because they were not of us, which mm-hmm. is to say they never were truly Christians. They were pretend believers.
Well, Joshua Harris not only apologized to the LGBTQ community, he actually walked and marched in a gay pride parade after that, which is actually going supporting that stuff. But I will say this about Josh Harris, and I'm not sure about this other guy, but Josh Harris, if you think about what he did, it's actually he made a decision to do something that I think is better than if he became what's called a progressive Christian, where he takes scripture and bends it to his beliefs. What Harris said is, listen, you know what? I don't like what this says. I can't buy into it, so I'm just not going to buy into any of it, which I think is good when you got Rob Bell or Jen Hatmaker or other people like them who, what they do is they take scriptures and manipulate them to the world that they want them to be and say they say something they don't say. And I think when you think about a Joshua Harris versus a Rob Bell or Jen Hatmaker, Joshua Harris is probably a lot closer to repentance than they are. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because what they've done is created an idol.
Mm-hmm.
He's just said, I don't buy into it. He may follow an idol too, but he's not taking the scriptures themselves and twisting them. And, you know, I just think what Tozer says in his book Worship, he talks about people falling away from the church, and he says that each generation sets the stage for its successor. If we allow false doctrine behind the walls of the church, it's going to grow and destroy it from the inside out. And I think what we're seeing right now is a fallout from all the boomers, a whole generation that embraced postmodernism. And we've created this younger generation of postmoderns, like the Israelites who mixed idol worship. We see the church mixing idol worship in the form of postmodernism and progressive Christianity. Your truth is different from my truth, and it's okay. Or you know what? God didn't really mean this. This is what he means because it was a different culture then, as if God didn't see the future and he didn't know what the future was going to be like. So when we think about that, we need to just pray for these people. And our hope is that the Joshua Harrises and this singer for writer, the worship guy, is that they would be repentant and reconciled to God one day and hear the call of God on their life. Because to me, I was talking with Ron Nappel, who's a SWAT brother. I don't know how you go through life without belief.
Right. Well, you know, and while we may not repudiate Christ, when we make decisions to sin, it's pretty much the same idea, is that we reject what's best, what Christ desires. And it you hear about these stories, and it breaks my heart. Maybe when we come back from the break, I want to read a post that somebody sent me this morning, which I think is really good in light of what we're seeing between Josh Harris and Marty Sampson. So, hey, glad you joined us here at SWAT Radio. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. 844-777-7928.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a ministry dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope and coming alongside those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's Word and share encouraging testimonies of transformed lives. Highway to Eternity Ministries serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Tuesday afternoon, and we will jump into the topic that we're covering this week and last week on evangelism. Doug, I wanted to real quick read this. This is one of our listeners said, I am sad this morning. I'm sad as I read the testimony of another high-profile man saying that he has lost his faith. First Joshua Harris, now Marty Sampson of Hillsong. I sincerely struggled last night to make sense of it all. I know that some have come out and said these renunciations are a product of a lack of sound teaching and a result of a lack of support around these men. I don't know if that is necessarily the whole story. Joshua Harris was raised in a family that I am sure took very seriously their role in raising children who knew the Word of God. I have a different theory. Okay. For what it's worth.
Do you do, or you're, is this
no,
person?
No, this is, I'm just reading.
The listener, okay.
It's good, though. Christianity is a big business. It has become a platform for fame, notoriety, and followers. With that attention comes all of the same struggle that characterizes any kind of fame. Incessant and vocal critics, fatigue, and the bubble of isolation, which, Doug, you and I have talked a lot about. If your faith is a means to an end, a way to achieve popularity, attaboys, and followers, whether you realize that is where your faith is rooted or not, it is going to become exhausting trying to keep people happy. It is easy to become weary when you have a front row seat to the worst in people who claim to love Jesus. I think that many people spend a period of time trying to figure out their faith, testing whether it is truly theirs. If fame comes your way at a young age because of your faith, I'm sure the waters of the testing time become very muddy. I told my children last night that my prayer for each of them is that their faith is grounded in the person of Jesus, not in the stuff he can give them. My prayer is that while they will walk out their faith imperfectly, because none of us is perfect, while they may do things that they look back on and shake their heads at, I want them to remember that their foundation is found in the unshakable character of God. The strongest buildings sway when the wind blows, but if the foundation is strong, those buildings come to rest in the upright position once again. Our foundation is not found on Instagram likes. It is not measured in money. It is not even found in how people agreed with our Facebook post. It is found in a God who loved us enough to enter the cesspool of humanity and take our sin upon himself. Mm-hmm. We are free. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when you look at these people, and we're talking about Josh Harris and Marty Sampson, which, by the way, I didn't really know who Marty Sampson was till somebody texted me about it last night.
Yeah.
But the reality is we're talking about them because they are in the spotlight, if you will. They are infamous, I guess. And it just the whole idea of that breaks my heart, that we are making so much of man and so little of God. And I think that's part of the problem within our culture today. And I know, Doug, you and I have had multiple conversations on and off the air about how we have elevated man. You're a good communicator. You preach the gospel well, whatever. And we tend to elevate those men or even women in that in some cases.
Yeah, we do as a culture. And I just had lunch or had a lunch meeting with a guy. And by the way, you know, we Brad and I meet with pastors from different churches in the area. And you've heard Tim Lusk on here. And we've had Barry, who was a North Florida
Barry Sproles.
And, you know, Doug Rutt from Christian Family Chapel. We have relationships with a lot of different churches in this area. A lot of good churches. And I just met a guy named Chuck Peterman, who's a pastor down at Creekside Christian Church down in St. John's. And, boy, I just a great heart for shepherding and discipleship. Loved the conversation. I shared with him the definition that, you know, God, I really felt like God kind of brought together from his word and our teaching time. And I was sharing that with him. He said, well, that's kind of our heart mission here. Hmm. And it's always good to meet pastors that have a heart for discipling. And he's down at Creekside Christian Church. So if you're down near St. John's in that Bartram Park area, that's a good place to plug in. Andrew, who's one of our SWAT brothers that you know, went there and just got ordained and sent out to Pensacola now as a worship guy over there. And you know, I think one of the things that Chuck and I was talking about early on in our conversation was in America, we have such a celebrity culture that we lift up these people and we forget that we were just instruments. And I remember, you know, remember, Brad, I shared that story about my mom praying about me before I was ever born.
And,
and that song that I sang as a kid, and I was sharing that with Chuck about born to serve the Lord. And we're not born to serve ourselves. We're born to serve him. And if you can keep that in mind, that he's our master.
Yeah, it's not even serving people. We serve people through Christ.
Yeah.
Through serving Christ.
Yeah, we serve him. And I just think we lose sight of that fact. I mean, even in going to church or going to Bible studies or small groups, a lot of times it's, oh, I got to go to get. I got to go get for me. I got to go receive. But we serve. Mm. We come together to serve Christ and worship him. And yes, we come together for encouragement, but we also come together to serve. We each have gifts. Everybody in the body has at least one gift.
Mm-hmm.
And that gift is given to serve not our purposes, but his purposes. And we're all called to be witnesses. This is not something you relegate to just the pastors or the staff or the Sunday school teachers. We are called to be witnesses. And this week, we're looking at this whole idea of lifestyle evangelism. Are you sharing your faith with anybody? Have you in the last 6 months, last year? Have you told one person about Jesus? Not about your church, not about your pastor. Have you talked to anybody about the change that Jesus has made in your life? If that's intimidating for you, can I encourage you to really just step back from what you have been taught, maybe traditionally, that looks like, and think in terms of prayer, care, and share. This week, Thursday, we're having a guest on named Lon Allison, who really kind of emphasized this lifestyle to me, evangelism of prayer, care, share. And he also emphasized this narrative evangelism, story type of evangelism that starts with the story of the listener, moves into our story, our testimony of what God has done, not just how we came to Christ, but even God's stories of where God is real and relevant in our life. And then moving to a Jesus story where something that Jesus taught or a story he was a part of or a story he told intersects our story and our listener's story, whoever mm-hmm. we're talking to. Mm-hmm. And then we move into the Jesus story. But it starts with prayer. And yesterday we got into Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and I really would like for you to read that again. It's such a short passage, but it's powerful because it's coming from the lips of Paul, one of the greatest evangelists of all time, who wrote so much that has been helpful for us in how to share the faith. And I believe Paul is trying to keep us on course. You know, Brad, as a pilot, if I start off and I'm just a half a degree off course, mm-hmm. what happens the further I get down the road? Mm-hmm. That gap gets further and further away from the target you're supposed to be going to. Mm-hmm. And so I think somewhere along the line, the witnessing, the evangelism, the sharing the gospel grew from being something that God was a part of and God was doing in the lives of people, that we were just instruments, to something we had to do. Mm-hmm. And it became an obligation. It became an agenda. Instead of, Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So if we're following him, I don't know too many people that are really following hard after the Lord that aren't overflowing about
yeah.
other people knowing Jesus.
No question. You spend enough time around a person, you will actually begin to mimic what they do.
Exactly.
It's proven.
Yeah, and so the problem is, I think instead of spending time with Jesus, we're spending time with what people tell us about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that will not lead you to a place of prayer, care, and share. When you look at Jesus' life, he's praying all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's praying. He's praying, hey, guys, you guys go on. I got to go up on the mountain and pray. Hey, I'm going to go spend some time up here praying, guys. Okay? This kind only comes out by prayer. He was constantly trying to teach, Lord, teach us how to pray. Mm-hmm. They saw something in him that was different. They wanted to know how to pray. So Paul takes this in Colossians 4 at the end of this chapter, the end of this book. He's in prison when he's writing this, and he talks about being devoted to prayer in the context of evangelism. So read it, and let's come back, and we're going to quickly revisit the prayer aspect with the talking about the fountain again. And then we're going to get into the caring part today, conducting with wisdom. So go ahead and read it.
Yeah, Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
How you answer each person. And we said that in the first 11 chapters of John, Jesus interacted with 10 different people, 10 different ways. It was not a cookie cutter approach. That for us comes as a result of prayers. We pray for people. We have to go to God about people before we go to people about God. Hmm. We start with him. And as we pray and connect with him, then we come alongside his will. And remember, we use that multi-tiered fountain illustration from John 7. He says, anyone who comes to me, out of you will flow living water. That living water is a spirit. We are that top bowl. And if we drink deeply from Jesus every day, we will overflow to other that next bowl, which is the people in our family, then the next bowl. Evangelism is nothing more than an overflow of our own love relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So,
well, listen, glad you joined us today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'd love to have you join us this afternoon. You're welcome to call 844-777-7928. Hey, if you're stuck in carpool and you got nothing to do, listen, give us a ring.
Do like Salita and call in.
Exactly. 844-777-7928. If you have a question for us or comment, email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com, and we'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Most protesters and police have now left Hong Kong Airport after a second day of demonstrations that caused mass flight cancellations. From Hong Kong, BBC correspondent Jonathan Head reports.
The protesters have just melted away. It's exactly what they did yesterday. There were far more of them here today. There have been warnings over the tannoy telling people to leave. And now mostly what we've got left, well, there are still protesters who are leaving, but they are being allowed to leave. The riot police have not come in. What looked like a potentially very ugly operation to clear this massive airport terminal has not happened. So for a second day, we've had a complete paralysis, some very tense moments, and suddenly a complete evaporation of it.
Calm returned to the airport in the early hours of Wednesday after riot police briefly clashed with pro-democracy protesters outside the building earlier Tuesday night. President Trump speaking at Shell's soon-to-be-completed Pennsylvania Petrochemicals Complex, about 40 miles north of Pittsburgh. The president stressed his administration is breaking through EPA regulations which had blocked such projects at the expense of American workers.
When this great building company comes here and wants to build a plant, I want to make it easy for them, not hard for them. I'm not jealous of them. I couldn't care less. Bechtel. I'm not jealous of them.
The president appealing to blue-collar workers who helped him win Beaver County, where the plant is located, by more than 18 percentage points in 2016. Also at townhall.com, National Weather Service meteorologist Bob Orvik says parts of the nation continue to sizzle.
The heat wave continues across parts of the southern plains into the southeast, with temperatures again expected to the 95 to over 100 degree range. And combine that with the humidity levels, they're going to have pretty high heat indices. And across those regions, we do have heat advisories and heat warnings in effect.
Some of the most oppressive conditions in Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Oklahoma. More on these stories at townhall.com.
No active accidents, but there is some roadway debris on I-95 heading north beyond Bay Meadows Road. Also some roadway debris in St. Johns County on I-95 heading north beyond County Road 210. And traffic running a bit slow on the East Beltway 295 southbound around Bay Meadows Road. Partly cloudy tonight, expect a low 76. Wednesday, mostly sunny and hot, I-95.
I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without you.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Tuesday afternoon. Who's that again?
Austin French, Freedom Hymn.
Good.
I think, Brad, a lot of people feel chained to traditional thinking and sharing their faith. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's nothing wrong with traditions, but a lot of times... And I've said this quote at least 10 times on air from Dick Halverson, but it's so true. What started in Jerusalem was a relationship, went to Greece, became an idea, went to Rome, became an institution, came to America and became an enterprise. And this cookie cutter approach of training people to share the gospel. And listen, I was an EE trained teacher trainer, EE is Evangelism Explosion. I went through the process. I learned a lot of good concepts there. But here's one of the issues. If I come up to you and I say, Brad, do you know where you're going tonight? If you died, do you know where you would be going? Would you go to heaven or hell? All right. Immediately, what I'm making is your salvation about your eternal destiny instead of about a relationship with the Father. Mm-hmm. You see, the relationship with God is not just about not going to hell. It's not a ticket on the train to go to heaven. The relationship with God is a daily thing for now. And the benefit is you get to spend eternity with him in heaven and you don't go to hell. But when you make it about not going to hell and going to heaven, it gives people this idea that you just get a ticket punched and, okay, now I'm done. And that was never, Jesus didn't say, okay, pray this prayer. He said, come follow me, guys.
And he didn't say for one day.
No, he said, come follow me. And it was a lifestyle. Now, listen, I know immediately there's going to be people who go, whoa, are you saying that we shouldn't preach about hell? No, I'm not saying that at all. Jesus said a lot about hell, talked about hell a lot. But the motivation for people was, who do they say Christ is? Remember what he went to? Who do you say, Peter? Who do people say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
Well, some think you're Elijah. Some think a prophet. But who do you think I am, Peter?
Yeah.
See, that's the question we all got to get to. And for us, the only way people can understand who Jesus is the Holy Spirit reveal who he is. And that starts on our part with prayer. It's about a relationship. See, the gospel is about a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit.
As it's revealed in Scripture.
As it's revealed in Scripture. And it's by the preaching of the word. Now, what we're talking about this week is how you go about it from your perspective. Listen, if Brad is not a believer and I am Brad's neighbor and I don't share the gospel with Brad, God is not going to allow Brad to not be in the family of God and go to hell because of my disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
But
some people teach that.
I know they do. But he will allow me to suffer consequences for being a disobedient child if I'm not sharing Brad. Mm-hmm. And I miss out on rewards also. But it starts with prayer. And Paul says to be steadfast. He said be devoted. Don't quit, he says. In James 4, he says the reason you don't have is you don't ask. And when you do ask, ask with a selfish motive. So let me ask you a question. If you're listening out there, what do you pray for those around you? Well, first of all, let me just ask the question. Do you pray for those around you that don't know Christ? Do you know your neighbor? Do you know who your neighbors are? Can you name the people in the five or six houses that are immediately around you? Even their first names. Do you pray for them? Do you know if they're believers? You see, we live in a very disconnected world, and you go, well, wait, you know, I never see them. I don't know them. Okay, you're there. That's your neighborhood. It's your apartment complex. What about at school? What about at work? What about at the Y or the place you work out? What about in the grocery store? You see the same clerk over and over? You see the same person at the cash register over and over? Do you know who they are? Stella works out at the place I go, grocery shop. I know she's one of the people that works in there. There's quite a few people that work in there. But you find out who they are. You can pray for them. Just tell them, hey, I'm praying for you today. Say a prayer for them. You go through a shop. You know, we talked about going through the line. We talked about that. I want to give you just a few things that you can talk to God about these people and ask him to help you. First of all, ask him to motivate you to share the gospel with him. You know, God, help me because I've struggled in this area. Don't be paralyzed by guilt. Instead, just say, Lord, help me to share the gospel with the people around me. And then say, just like Paul did in that passage, Lord, would you open a door for me to share? Just like Paul said, mm-hmm. Open a door not for me to get out of prison, but open a door for me to share the gospel have an opportunity and the courage and the right words to say. So those are some specific things that you can pray.
I think even you mentioning Paul in prison praying for an opportunity, and I'm glad you brought up the fact he wasn't necessarily praying that he would get out of prison.
No.
He was just praying for an opportunity. I mean, you think about it, he was in stocks, literally chained into stocks, and where they literally were pulling his body apart. And what is he doing in that cell? He's singing hymns. He's rejoicing, which oftentimes is an opportunity for people to go, how are you so joyful in the midst of the circumstances you're in?
And we have to be ready to give a defense for the hope that's
exactly.
in us.
And I mean, sadly enough, Doug, many in the church, you know, just don't look like they have a lot of joy.
Well, I know. I was talking to one guy a long time ago, it was a while back, and he was complaining to me, you know, I'm so tired of being at this place, working here. You know, I'm the only Christian here. None of these other people love the Lord. I hate being around all these people. And I said, wow. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, God chose you to be the missionary there, and your attitude stinks, man, because you don't even want to be around these people. Listen, I get that it can be hard, but we got to pray and ask God for authentic love for people, for boldness to love them in spite of how hard they are to love sometimes. Maybe the spiritual warfare. Do you think the enemy's not making it difficult for us? And we're in a war for patience, for humility. These are all things we can be for praying that the Holy Spirit would fill us more than our selfish desires to not be dealing with these things. And like you said the other day, pray that God would help you to see with eyes of compassion and not treat them like a project, which is taking us into verse 5, Brad, of this passage where he says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders. That's one of the few times in the New Testament that word outsiders is used, and it means an unbeliever. And so how are we wise with outsiders? Well, we don't treat them like the world does. We treat them like Jesus would.
Well, and he even says, making the best use of the time.
Yeah.
You don't know how much time you've got.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm one of these guys, Doug. I like to cram as much as I can into a certain amount of time. And yet I think that's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, in the time that you and I have left on this earth, what should we be doing? Well, make the most of it by sharing Christ.
Well, and caring as you do it. So we talked about being a person of prayer in verses 2 through 4. And now he's getting into this caring aspect, and immediately what pops into my mind is John Monger. John Monger is a guy who was in prison for 18 months, and when he was in jail, he was beaten by the guards every day. And one of the guys at SWAT one day asked, why didn't he lie? Because all they ask him, dude, deny Jesus and you can walk out the door. And somebody said, well, why didn't he just lie and then get out and start talking to people about Jesus again? So I asked him that. And John said, well, how could I deny Jesus who died for me in front of this guard who I might be the only witness he ever sees? And if Jesus is not deserving enough of me to witness for him, even in the face of persecution, then why would I follow him? He said, I was praying for the salvation of the prison guard, and how could I pray for him and not even suffer so that he could know if I really wanted him to know? And so I knew God controlled the time. He was sovereign over how long I would be there and what I went through. Now, keep in mind, John Monger had only been a believer for a year when he was first thrown in prison. He didn't have years of deep theological training or discipleship, but he had the Holy Spirit. And that's why when God says in his word, you don't need any man to teach you, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. He will be in there and in you. And that's why when Jesus says, it's better for you that I go away, because now we don't just have Jesus on the outside with us. We have the Holy Spirit in us.
That's right.
And so John made the best use of that time. And if we really care, if we care for people, it's going to cost us, Brad.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're crying. They're saying, you know, show me the way. Show me how I can know this. They may not be saying it in a traditional way like, hey, I really want your help. But they're blind and they don't know how to get there. And we are the lighthouse for them.
Well, our lips really indicate what's in our heart. If we're not willing to go across the street and share good news with people, it may be a reflection of a heart that's not regenerate. Mm. And I think back to the thing that we always say, Paul says, examine yourself. Is your cup overflowing? I hope so. Glad you joined us today. We'll be right back after the break. SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Every night I say a prayer in the hopes that there's a heaven. But every day I'm as the saints turn into sinners. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay. And I feel this empty place inside. So I pray that I've lost my faith. Show me the way. Show me the way.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Show me the way. Show me the way. Hey, wanted to mention, Joe, thanks for listening out there to SWAT Radio. His comments were, he said, amen, brothers. The Western Church has made the gospel a transactional effort, not a relational invitation.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. It is. And that's the whole thing. It's about a transaction, not about a relationship. And the whole reason Jesus came was to show people it was about a relationship. Mm. The Pharisees got transactions. They were all about transactions, but what they weren't about was a relationship based on God and His Word. And as you think about this whole idea of caring, even the disciples, you know, they were coming out of that mindset. That's mm-hmm. what they grew up in, right?
Right.
So when Jesus invited them to follow Him, they were following Him. And when they were going to Jerusalem, at this one point in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is said, he set his face resolutely to go to Jerusalem. They know something big is about to happen, the most important thing that ever happened. He's told them many times that he's going to die, but they don't get it. They think he's going to establish some kind of earthly kingdom. And so they're all excited because they can tell this is serious. Mm-hmm. He's serious. He's on his way, and they're with him. The entourage is moving toward Jerusalem as it moves through Jericho, from old Jericho to the new Jericho. They come across this blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is screaming in Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Bartimaeus is screaming, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He's screaming. The word screaming there means an animal-like scream. So this is a desperate man screaming, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." And the disciples are going, "Shh, be quiet." He didn't have time. Mm-hmm. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus, the most important person who ever lived, on his way to do the most important event that ever existed on any daytimer. And the disciples knew it, and they go, "He doesn't have time." And you know what Jesus did in Mark 10, I think it's verse 49? It says, and Jesus stopped.
Yeah.
And he looked at Bartimaeus, and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he didn't need to heal him for validation. He'd already healed a lot of people. He stopped. He was using the messianic title, saying, "Son of David." And the disciples were so caught up in ministry that they blew right past that. And I think what happens a lot to us, that we blow past the caring part. We're praying, "Oh my gosh, we got this opportunity." And there are people crying out like Bartimaeus, "Help me, help me, help me." The way they cry out may not be with their voice. It may be their lifestyle. It may be their actions. But they're crying out. And the question for you and me is, because we think we're so important that we don't have time to stop. What we're doing is so vital to the kingdom that we don't have time to stop and look at these people crying out and say, "What do you want me to do for you?" Mm. And I'm telling you, Brad, it chews up ministers and people who love Jesus, because the enemy will use ministry to keep us from actually ministering.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we can become so ingrained in what we're doing that we're completely oblivious of the doors that God has opened right in front of us.
Oh, my gosh,
and we don't. I'm guilty. I mean,
me too.
I can't tell you how many times I have come out of a gas station. I've left somewhere where I knew there was a need, and I just kept on going because, hey, I got things to do and my life is busy. And you know what? There's just nothing. There's no excuse for that. And, you know, I was thinking about, since we're talking about prayer, care, share, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you're listening out there and maybe you've had a personal experience of caring for somebody. You know, I think oftentimes, I think of what you just mentioned where Jesus said, "What do you want from me?" What if somebody near you wants something? What if somebody near you needs something? Well, of course, most of us would agree everybody needs Christ. But if you don't engage with somebody, there may be something else that they need. That they don't need anything more than they need Christ. They need Christ. But sometimes Christ comes through us. You know, I can think of an opportunity we had to give a car to somebody, a car, just junk car. That somebody was in need of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't have any use for that car. It was just dripping oil on my driveway, yeah. Whatever. You know, we would have never known had we not just asked. Or in our case, we heard about it from somebody else. I think as the body of Christ, this is an area, yes, we may be praying for opportunities, but are we listening to what's being said? Maybe even it's even nonverbal. Maybe there are people out there just aren't willing to speak up. Well, go get coffee with them. Go take them to lunch.
Well,
bring a meal to them.
It's about a conversation. We don't want to just slip the gospel in.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a conversation. And I want to remind our listeners about the SALT acronym that we used yesterday. And you're going to hear that this week, and you're going to hear it again in a couple of weeks. Seek. This is SALT, S-A-L-T. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the world." And SALT, seek opportunities to share. Well, what does it mean to seek? It means to look for. You're looking. Mm-hmm. If you're so busy and so distracted with your own life that you don't seek opportunities to share, then why should he leave you here?
Mm.
Why should he leave you? Because he's not leaving you here except to be an influence for him. If he wanted, I mean, if he wanted to, I mean, if you're a believer and you're going to be with him forever, why leave you here if you're not going to share, I mean, the gospel? That's the whole point. So seek opportunities to share. Ask questions. Ask questions to better understand the world of the people that you're talking to. Ask. Talk to them. Ask them about their life. Ask them about what's going on. Their struggles. You know, how can you pray for them? Then listen intently. Listen intently to know how to respond to their questions. It's like you said one time, Brad, the L, so often we're formulating our next wave of attack to go in to hit them with something. We're not even really listening to what they're saying. And I'm guilty of that. I mean, I get so ingrained in a battle a lot of times that I don't listen. I'm so passionate about wanting to get my point across, and I have to repent of that. We have to seek opportunities, share, ask questions to better understand their world, listen intently to know how to respond to their questions, then talk openly about our own faith in Jesus and God's stories. Mm-hmm. You know, how God is real to us. You know, Brad, I know one of the things that you had shared one time. Let's go back to you. Before you went to India, I remember asking you a question about going over there. Mm. And it wasn't an easy answer for you. It was an opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But your typical response prior to our conversation would have been what? If you're asked to go, if I said, hey, we can go, the first thing you do is what?
Well, just to honor my wife, I'd say, let me talk to my wife.
Yeah.
No, but typically it's, let me check my calendar.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's 90% of the people are going to do that.
Yeah.
But in having a conversation about it, God began to change the way you view that. Share that a little bit with
part
people.
Part of it, interesting, we talk here, Doug, about where our mind is being renewed. The week prior to you asking me about India, I had been teaching on the preeminence of Christ. Now, if you ever just want to be convicted, start teaching the Bible, because the reality is, I don't teach for the sake of teaching. I teach for the sake of studying the Word of God, because I know my depravity. I know the areas I'm struggling. And listen, if you don't know the areas you're struggling in, read the Bible, and they'll become very apparent to you. And as I began to prepare that lesson on the preeminence of Christ, I realized how many other things were preeminent in my life. Number one, my calendar, my job, my family even. And most people might argue, well, your family should not be preeminent. Christ should be preeminent. Just think about the things that you put before your response to Christ. So when you asked me, sitting in this studio, hey, I want you to go to India with me. I remember reaching for the door as I'm literally walking out the door, and I looked at you, and immediately God's word came to my mind,
mm-hmm.
that what I had taught on was the preeminence of Christ, that we don't look to our checkbook, we don't look to our calendars. Listen, if you feel like God is calling you somewhere to do something, our immediate response usually is, do I have the resources to be able to do that?
Yeah, that's our first thought.
Absolutely. Do I have the time? Do I have the money? That's usually number one and two.
Yeah.
Time and money.
Well, yeah. And instead of praying, mm-hmm. and saying, God, is this something, you know, and you know what I think about? I think about when the children of Israel were in the desert wandering, and he said, I want you to pick up the manna 6 days a week. And on the sixth day, I'm going to give you enough for the sixth and seventh day, because I want you to rest on the seventh. Now, if they tried to keep that manna for an extra day, any other day, it got maggots in it and it was messed up. But on the sixth day, it didn't. Why? Because God was involved. Jesus, Maisel calls that the Jesus factor or the God factor, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
God can bless one day of work in your life to be equal to 7 days of work in your life.
That's right.
If he's calling you to do something, he's going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. The question is, are you going to trust him? Are you going to pray for your friends? Are you going to care for your friends? Are you going to share with them? That's what we're here for. And that's what we're going to finish. We're going to come back tomorrow and look at the sharing part.
Can't wait. Glad you joined us here at SWAT Radio today. Go to SWATradio.com. You can listen to past broadcasts there. Download the app. and you can listen live, the stream, and I hope you'll join us tomorrow, SWATradio.com. Doug, take care, bud.
All right, see you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine.